Good morning. We are continuing our study of The Master Speaks. We're on part two of the chapter. Hang on, I'll find it. Reality of Spirit. And we're starting here. The heading is Realization of the Christ Appears as Form. This is important because there's so many little nuances that we need to get, we need to understand. So Joel says, in my work, the treatment is always this, realization of the Christ. When I sit quietly and peacefully in a receptive state of consciousness, sooner or later, I feel something within that I know to be the Divine Presence, the Christ, and I find that it, that presence, that Christ, meets these claims, whether they are mental, moral, physical, or financial. It, itself, enters into human relationships, bringing peace where there was strife. Now, here are a couple of things to remember. Many times people do not want the peace of the Christ. They want their own human will satisfied. They may want to see a fight settled amicably, but they want it settled on their own terms. Yes, this is known as outlining. A person may want his health, but he wants it not the way by which the Christ may bring it to him. In anyone the Christ touches, it always dissolves the elements of sensuality, envy, jealousy, or malice. The Christ very often operates in our consciousness to dispel even inherited or environmental traits which are not conducive to spiritual living. But many people do not want that to happen to them. They want to hold on to their lust for power, their lust for peace, or their lust for money, or their lust for something else, and yet expect to get their healing, too. They want the healing, but they do not want to surrender the personal sense of self. That's very important. We want our healings, but we don't want to surrender our personal sense of self. Now, why must a personal sense of self be surrendered? Because if you see a person as you, if you see a personal sense of self, I am Bill, you are Mary, you are Jack, we are hypnotized, and the personal sense of self is a state of hypnosis. And we have said that we want to awaken to our true identity. Well, you can't awaken to your true identity until you surrender the false identity, the personal sense of self. Now, I might want a healing from a physical claim, but I'm not quite ready to surrender all of the things I want. I want abundance. I want health. I want the perfect companion. Those are all pictures in the mind. And if they're pictures in the mind, we know they are hypnosis. And so it's a picture in the mind. It's not reality. There's no substance. The substance of pictures in the mind are, or is, hypnosis. When you surrender a personal sense of self, okay, Christ, you take over. I will follow you. And of course, this is the Christ within, not a Christ of 2,000 years ago or a Christ somewhere in the heavens. It's the living Christ. When you contact it, it appears as form. This is the title to this section, Realization of the Christ Appears as Form. And it's always harmonious form. Now, sometimes, I have discovered it appears as inharmonious form first. When I surrendered the personal sense of supply, that which I thought was supply had to be wiped out in order for me to come into a realization of Christ as supply. Once it was wiped out, I was free to behold, to bear witness of Christ appearing as supply. So sometimes that, to him that hath, it shall be taken, and from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. So, sometimes after a surrender, it looks like a loss, but it's not a loss. It's just a cleaning of the slate, so you can see the Christ in its plan. And so he says, they want the healing, but they do not want to surrender the personal sense of self. This does not mean that in our practice of the infinite way, an attempt is made to discover what is erroneous in an individual's thought and then try to correct it. No, no, no. Never would we be guilty of trying to find out what error lurks in another person's thought. But by abiding in this spiritual sense of truth, harmony, and peace, whatever of material or mortal sense exists as a state of thought is dissolved. Now, you don't put your hands on it and wrestle it to the ground. No. You abide in the spiritual sense of existence. You abide in Christ. Abide in me. The treatment, therefore, for anything, and everything is peace. Be still. That is all. Just those words, peace, be still, are enough if they come from a state of consciousness which is at peace and which has found the center of its being. So there are two clues right there. You need to find the center of your being and then be at peace. Be still. Letting Christ reveal itself is so far removed from trying to make it manifest in what you have outlined in your mind. And often we find that when Christ has entered in, it's so much better than anything we could have planned. And there are a few surprises, good surprises along the way. So, find your center, find your peace. Behold, I am with you. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I, Christ, am the way. If I were to try to correct something in your mind or body, the treatment would fail. So if someone were to say to you, I have this terrible backache, can you help me? And you were to say, yes, I can, or yes, I will. And then you unconsciously go to work to remove that pain or to correct that picture or to bring about healing, the treatment will fail. If, however, I forget the world and forget what is called form, find my center of being, find my peace, the realization of the Christ, then quickly the answer comes, I have been helped or I am healed. It was not anything which I knew or any power which I of myself possessed. It was this Christ. So the infinite way is different, isn't it? It doesn't take the person into meditation. It doesn't take the problem into meditation. It leaves all that outside. Hands off. Pencils down. Come within here. Find your center. Be at peace. And I make everything new. I, the Christ within you, I, Christ, make everything new and harmonious. So you contact the Christ, you rest in it, consciously aware of the Christ, and you be at peace. Your contact with Christ will always appear as form, some kind of harmonious form. Sometimes we need to take the long view instead of the short view. For instance, when my wife passed away, I felt alone. Sometimes lonely. But I continued to contact the Christ within and rest there, not moving my arms or my legs to do anything, just resting in Christ. And Christ had the long view. Christ knew that it was going to appear as another companion, someone else I could love and be loved by. I didn't know it at the time. I did know that if I contacted Christ, harmony would appear. And it did. And we've been together for over 2 years now. And it's maybe even more wonderful than when we started, because, as we often say, it's as comfortable as your favorite shirt or your favorite blouse. It's wonderful. And Christ appeared as my companion. All right, so don't take the short view. I need a healing right now. Take the long view. Let Christ appear as your harmony. If we do not have this consciousness of the presence of the Christ, we lack the one element which does the healing work. All right, so if your healing work is not showing results, it's because of you do not have the consciousness of the presence of the Christ. And that's the one element which does the healing work. The Christ is always present with us. The Christ is the reality of our being. But the need is for the conscious awareness of the presence of the Christ. That's really the secret to the whole thing. I guess we could put that on a 3x5 or a sticky note and put it somewhere where we can see it daily. The need is for the conscious awareness of the presence of the Christ. That's the need every time, for every meditation, for every healing work. The need is for the conscious awareness of the presence of the Christ. We develop that through study. Studying and hearing the Word. Coming together with other students on the path. And the revelation within our own being brought about through meditation. Reading, association with others on the path, and meditation bring us to that state of consciousness where all of a sudden the inner realization comes and the Christ unfolds and discloses its glory to us. Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's been coming to me a lot lately. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Our consciousness of truth appears outwardly as form. We could say it this way. Our conscious awareness of truth appears outwardly as form. This Christ, which is spirit, appears tangibly as form. Now, we've seen that happen dozens of times. From something as small as a parking space appearing right up front at Walmart or wherever you shop, to someone contacting us and telling us they reached out and their cancer has disappeared. there's no degree of difficulty for miracles, I am told. So whether you are contacting Christ and a parking place appears, or whether you're contacting Christ and health and harmony appear, it's the same process. It's the same treatment. The treatment is not directed at somebody. Because remember, what your mind sees and interprets is hypnosis. So the treatment is never directed at someone. The treatment is letting the Christ appear within the center of your being and then watching it take form in however it will. There's no directing or outlining. You know, looking back, I think I can see now where I thought I had to be specific and direct my treatment against the evil picture appearing. So I might look at a problem someone presents me with, and I would have said, okay, there is no problem. Only God is here. And although that's true, it's not a realized truth. And so I would have had to talk myself out of treating the problem and into letting the Christ appear. Now, it's different. Someone presents me with the problem, and like he says, I forget the world, I forget the form. I just stand ready within myself, receptive. Receptive to this Christ, this wonderful presence. You know, it's really Christmas every day when you do that. Okay, so the Christ, which is spirit, appears tangibly as form. It may appear as a new heart, a new liver, or a new lung for somebody. It may appear as a new bone in his body. It may appear as a husband, as a wife, or as a companion. It may appear as an opportunity. It may appear as a parking place on the street. It appears in the tiniest forms, a little pin, if that is what is needed at the moment. We do not sit back and try to form it. Now, the human mind is an imitator. It imitates prayer. It imitates the presence. It gives you a little quiet, and you think that you've contacted the presence. But you haven't. You've contacted the mind, which is imitating the Christ. How can you tell? Well, the mind that imitates the Christ does not appear as form. It just makes a little noise and you think, okay, now I've got it. But you don't. How do you know? There's no improvement. There's no harmony. It's just not happening. the Christ must be realized. You must be consciously aware of the presence of Christ. Then this harmony appears. Then the Christ takes form. We do not sit back and sigh that we are going to need a pin or a parking place or a new piece of flesh. Our only responsibility is to attain the conscious awareness of the presence of the Christ, the awareness of our oneness with the Christ. We sink back into our inner being. We feel ourselves at the center, and out of it flows the infinity of God. We do not direct it in any place. We are just a center of peace, a center of Christ activity, a center of love, and a center of life. The more continuously we maintain that attitude, the more does that love appear outwardly as money, patients, students, customers, or whatever the need may be. I have found that when I read Joel saying, or heard Joel saying, he discovered that love would pay his bills. It sounds ridiculous to someone that's suffering lack and limitation. Oh, hey, just let love pay your bills. What are you talking about? That's exactly it. But love, in this case, is God, or Christ. Let Christ pay your bills. How? How do I do that? He told you already. You study the Word. Everything that has to do with supply. My grace is thy sufficiency. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Whatsoever you have need of, Christ will provide. If you step aside and let it. Now, I practiced that principle. I remember in about 1973 walking around saying to myself, taking a breath and letting it out, "Thy grace is my sufficiency," maybe 300 times a day. "Thy grace is my sufficiency." I did not know what I was saying. I do now. Thy grace is the presence. The presence is thy grace. And so a conscious awareness of the presence appears outwardly as grace. Without you directing it or telling it what you need or telling it when to appear, none of that. It simply appears right on time. And so, the more continuously we maintain that attitude, the more does that love appear outwardly as money, patients, students, customers, or whatever the need may be. Our consciousness of truth, our conscious awareness of truth, appears outwardly as form. But we do not have to outline what that form shall be. See, that's another trick of the mind. Whatever you do in meditation, don't think about monkeys. And by the time you sit down to meditate, your mind is completely full of monkeys. All shapes and sizes, from chimpanzees to orangutans to all sorts of monkeys, flying squirrels. You can't get them out of your mind. Monkeys, monkeys, monkeys. And all he said was, to have a successful meditation, just don't think of monkeys. Baboons. You can't get away from it. So that's what the mind does. We sit down to meditate and we can't stop thinking of a broken leg. Is the bone piercing the flesh? Is it just a fracture? Is it a hairline fracture? All that is hypnosis. You're playing with a ball of thread, a ball of yarn. You're knocking it around. Stop playing with it. Be still. Peace. Be still. And rest at the center of your being, with the door open for the conscious awareness of the Christ. This is so different than the normal walk of life. I mean, they told me in school, if I studied real hard and got really good grades, I would be a success. I would be able to land that good job, save up money, buy a house, raise a family, and retire in comfort. And here, we are told, don't do that. Don't try to make your life a success. Find the center of your being. Find that peace. Find that receptivity. Find the Christ at the center of your being. Rest, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Rest in that Christ. Rest in your conscious awareness. Ah, thank you, Father. And see, harmony appears as form. Christ appears as harmonious form. You don't make it happen. You're not a creator, mind. Christ makes it happen. God is the only creator, and it can only create harmony. All right. Our consciousness of truth appears outwardly as form, but we do not have to outline what that form shall be. We are required only to live and move and have our being in spirit, to live as spirit, as soul, as consciousness. We are responsible only for maintaining our spiritual integrity. And this is attained and maintained in the degree that we see soul, spirit, and purity as the life and harmony of every individual. This means every individual, not every mortal. No, because the only thing a mortal is hypnosis. So it's every individual, not every mortal. We are not dealing with the mortal picture. Period. That's a period there. It's not a comma or a semicolon or a colon. It's a period. We are not looking at the mortal picture or trying to improve it. And that's the trap. Help me, please, I can't make my rent. They're going to kick me out. They've told me that they won't let me slide even one more time. So immediately you go within and try to improve that picture. That's not the right way. That's not the right thing to do. Forget the picture. Forget those asking for help. Go within. Remember, why am I here? I am here to come into the conscious awareness of the living Christ, the living God, the living I. And then rest. Be receptive. Have the roof off. Be open. Father, reveal that inner Christ. When you feel it, you have the conscious awareness of the presence of that Christ, your work is complete. You rest in it a little while, and then you open your eyes and go about your business. We are looking through the mortal picture to the reality of being. With our spiritual wisdom, with our intuitive sense, who by searching can find out God? Nobody. We never can find God with the intellect, with our human sense, or our reasoning power. We find God only in our inner, intuitive, spiritual consciousness, spiritual discernment. In a moment of awareness, something within suddenly says, "No, it is not I, but He. I am He." Something within gives us the feeling of a divine presence of oneness. And I am feeling that now. So let us be still for a moment. Christ in you, your hope of glory. As we realize this, the presence, we spiritually discern the reality of our neighbor's being, even our enemy's being, since we are told that it really does us not do us any good to know all this truth about our friends only. The scribes and the Pharisees did that. We who have taken the name of Christ must see that this is true, even of what appears to human sense as our enemy. This next part of this paragraph is important. It took me a long time to stumble onto this. Many of us think of an enemy as a person, but we have no greater enemies than death and disease. Ultimately, we must come to see through the illusory picture of death and disease to life eternal, and then we shall not experience death. What does that mean? Whom to know aright is life eternal. When you're walking around in a personal sense of existence, You're walking around in a hypnotic state of mind, seeing something that is not there, trying to protect it, trying to improve it, trying to provide for it somewhere in the future. That's not the spiritual way of life. When you contact the center of your being and feel there the presence of Christ, you realize your eternal life. And then death has no consequence for you because you've seen through it. I look through the mortal picture. I look through the hypnotic mind and contact this inner presence, and it is my eternal life and your eternal life. The world will go on experiencing the death of the body until in consciousness it overcomes the belief of death. In other words, as long as we entertain an awareness of death, that awareness will appear in the form of death. Our inner awareness appears outwardly as form. Now you can take that to the bank. Our inner awareness appears outwardly as form. Our inner awareness. When we have the inner awareness of life eternal, it will appear outwardly as immortality, spirituality, harmony, peace, joy, power, and dominion. Okay, so now he's going to change topic for a minute. Evil, a state of hypnotism. Does wrong thinking then appear outwardly as sin, disease, and death? No, it does not. It comes to us merely as an appearance or a belief, and we accept that appearance or belief as if it actually were an external form. Can a person who is hypnotized into believing that there is a white poodle on the hypnotist platform ever produce a white poodle there? No. All the hypnotized thinking in the world will not produce a white poodle. It will only produce an appearance or a belief which the victim claims as a white poodle. See that? There's a subtle difference. You're not seeing evil. You're seeing the belief, your belief, a belief, that evil exists. And so it will not produce a white poodle. It will only produce an appearance or a belief which the victim claims is a white poodle. Wrong thinking will never produce sin or disease or death. We are not creators. That's probably one of the most wonderful things to realize. We are not creators. You know, the mind wants to imitate. It wants to imitate the creator. believing that if it holds to a thought, that thought will take form. Well, that's the old school of metaphysics. We're in a new school where we are not creators. God is the creative principle, and it creates only its own image and likeness, which would be harmony, peace, joy, love, abundance, success. God creates only its own image and likeness. Our wrong thinking and the world's wrong thinking, therefore, will never produce sin, disease, or death. Such wrong thinking will only objectify the belief as an illusory picture like our white poodle, and then look at it and say, how am I going to get rid of it? It is not even here, so how can we get rid of it? There is no such thing as sin, disease, or death, and all the wrong thinking in the world that we can do will not produce such things. But the universal belief in a self apart from God does produce these erroneous pictures which we see as claiming to have substance, law, and reality, but which they do not have. All such pictures are as unreal as the white poodle which the hypnotized man believes he is seeing. Now here it is. Let us remember, he is not seeing it. He believes he is seeing it. See, it's a subtle little change. You're not seeing disease. You believe you are seeing it. Now, you can't change a picture of hypnosis. But you can change a belief. You can change the belief that it's real, that it's there, that it has substance, that it has reality. That you can change. So let us remember, he is not seeing it, he believes he is seeing it. There is no way to remove that white poodle except to awaken the subject out of his state of hypnosis. How do we do that? One with God is a majority. You see, when you go within and you are consciously aware of this Christ presence and your oneness with it, then one with that is a majority and dissolves the picture, dissolves the belief. There's no way to remove that white poodle except to awaken. How do we do that? One with God is a majority. If there were one person of spiritual vision in the audience who could laugh out loud and say or even think that there is not a white poodle to get rid of, the hypnotized man would awaken out of the dream. It's a dream. He says in the New Horizon that the sense which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism or hypnotism which produces the entire dream of human existence. See, human existence is an entire dream. It's a hypnotic picture. It must be understood there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. It must be realized that the entire human scene is hypnosis, mesmeric suggestion, and we must rise above the desire for good human conditions. See? The whole thing is hypnosis. Quit trying to improve it. Quit worrying about it. It is only because everyone is in agreement with him, the blind leading the blind, that it happens. If someone would consciously realize that he is merely witnessing a form of hypnosis, such a realization would quickly awaken him to the fact that hypnosis is not a power. It is a belief in a power apart from the one life. Alright, so whenever we are confronted with any form of disease, of sin, of death, of lack or limitation, let us be quick to realize this is a hypnotic picture and I do not have to do anything about it. In this way, we can very well have an instantaneous healing. Even if the healing is not instantaneous, our holding to the truth will ultimately reveal the harmony which already is. We must realize that there is no disease. There is only hypnotism. There is only a hypnotic picture appearing as disease. Spiritual healing is not using truth with which to overcome error. It is not using the power of good to overcome the power of evil. Jesus answered the impotent man, "Rise and walk." This was not using a power to heal disease. It was saying, in effect, there's nothing to be overcome. He did not use the power of God to do something to Pilate, or to ward off the crucifixion? No, he said, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." And then he let the crucifixion proceed, and he proved that life is eternal. I've kind of been over that in my mind. Why would he permit the crucifixion and all the pain involved? And I found the answer in the book of John. At the end, before the crucifixion, he says, "And now I have overcome the world." So he was not standing in a personal sense during the crucifixion. He was standing in his Christ identity. You can't kill I. You can't kill Christ. Yes, you can hang a personal sense of self on a cross, but that doesn't touch Christ. And so he was living in his eternal, everywhere self. He wasn't there. A spiritual healer is not a person who develops a technique of using truth to overcome error or of using treatment to overcome disease. A spiritual healer, which is what we are practicing, a spiritual healer is that state of consciousness which knows that God alone is the reality of all being, God alone, and that anything else is a state of hypnosis. The recognition that he is dealing with a state of hypnosis rather than with a person or with a condition is the healing consciousness. What have we learned in this chapter? Reality of Spirit. We have learned that on the positive side, we go within, find the center of our being, find our peace, and recognize, realize, become consciously aware of the presence of Christ, or Christ's presence. And on the minus side, all evil that you perceive is hypnosis. It's a state of hypnosis, and you don't have to do anything about hypnosis other than to just recognize this is a state of hypnosis. Now, Christ, reveal thyself and stay receptive within. When you feel the movement of spirit, of grace, of Christ within, that is enough. You have found your home in me. And so abide in me, rest in me, and I will be your life harmonious. Okay, let us be still for a minute. See if there's something else that needs to be said. Peace. Be still. This is a state of hypnosis. I let it go. I don't work on that. The problem cannot be met on the level of the problem. So let's come up higher. Let's make our effort toward becoming effortless and feeling the movement of this inner Christ presence. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you this presence. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Eternal life. Be still and know, I am God. The center of your being is God. And the realization of it takes form, harmonious form. In a way ye know not of. Let the human mind be still, so that God may reveal itself as a presence within you, appearing as form without. Yes, one with God is a majority. Look up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thank you. It's been a joy to do this chapter. The principles are so plain. All that remains is to practice them. Practice the principles. God bless.